When I was first made a priest, I was serving, as I've talked about before, at a huge church in downtown Atlanta, All Saints Church, it was called, and I was one of many clergy on staff. And at that church, we took turns being on call. We were on call for hospital visits and for people who died. It was that week, then we became the priest for that family. We were on call also for people who were seeking the kinds of help that would bring them to our doors, to push the buzzer, to be let in from 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. We all had our usual responsibilities in this big church, and the days were very busy. I learned some valuable pastoral lessons for me during those first years of my priesthood. I learned about those who knock on church doors for help. I learned a little bit about time management. Most importantly, I learned some things about myself. I am the kind of person who's very goal-oriented. I'm highly extroverted. I'm sure that comes as a shock to some of you. And I'm anxious to get jobs done and get lists made and then check things off the list and get things done well. But one of the things that I learned then and that I know even more now is that we never really know what's going to happen in a day. A well-planned day can quickly change with pastoral crises. For me, that's my day, with, at Calvary, broken water pipes, with people who push our buzzers at Calvary, our doors, looking for help with their utilities or their rent, or with food for their children. The day can change with I receive phone calls from beloved parishioners, or sometimes it's just the internet crashing. You know how that is. All those years ago, we used to call those moments in the day the ministry of interruption. The ministry of interruption. Interruptions can be annoying and frustrating. They can be also moments for deep learning. They can be moments for opportunities to recalibrate when the road ahead is getting murky, when you're not quite sure which path to follow. Interruptions can be heartbreaking, and they can be joy-filled. Sometimes interruptions can be Jesus getting into your boat when you're just trying to get your work done after a really long, fruitless, fishless day. The ministry of interruption can change your life. Well, the fishermen have been working all night. They're exhausted, and they're anxious because they have no fish to sell at market, much less to feed their families with. They've pulled their boats and anchored them up on the shore, and they are noticing that, as usual, their friend Jesus is over here on the beach, surrounded by a crowd as he teaches. They've been spending some time with him, these guys. In fact, it was just a few days ago that Jesus came over to Simon Peter's house for supper and found Simon Peter's mother-in-law very sick with a fever, and he healed her. That little episode comes right before this one. The fishermen like having Jesus around. He's a really interesting guy. He's easy to get along with. And they don't mind helping to house him and feed him as he moves around the countryside doing his teaching and preaching for the time that he's there. But they haul their empty nets out of the water and they begin washing them so that they can get home for some breakfast and well-earned sleep. But then Simon Peter turns around to see that Jesus has climbed into the empty anchored boat. And then Jesus asks Simon to take him just a bit offshore so that he can get away from the press of people and finish his teaching. I wonder about Simon Peter to come. I wonder if he was just that kind of a guy that no matter how busy he was or how tired he was, no matter what he had planned in his day, if you asked him to do something, he would just drop everything and do it for you. There are people like that, good people like that. The interruption of this normal work day by Jesus is getting ready to take a really strange turn. Simon Peter might have been ready to get back to cleaning his nets, but Jesus had another plan for them. He became the captain of the boat. Of course, Jesus would be doing that. And he directed the fishermen to get back to work, to go back out to the same place where they'd fished all night with no reward. I imagine the other fishermen shaking their heads at Simon Peter's agreement to do this ridiculous, time-wasting thing, fishing where they'd already fished just to make Jesus happy. And then I imagine them, as everybody helped each other haul their full nets to fill the boats so full of fish that they could hardly make it back to land, their jaws dropped. Their families would eat well. They could pay some bills. And then I imagine Jesus throwing his head back, roaring with laughter at their amazement. A ministry of interruption, bringing grace upon grace. What could they do then but follow him? Every single one of us here, no matter where we are in our lives, likes to think that we're in control of things, right? Even the youngest among us at Calvary, the littlest ones, crave control and independence. We want to be in charge. There's nothing like a toddler learning independence. I watched a father with his three daughters just a couple of days ago as they emerged from a doctor's appointment. It was that really cold day, Thursday. I watched them come out as they began to suit back up again, all the girls, putting on the layers of the clothes. And two of the girls seemed to be about 10 and 5, and they dutifully put on the sweaters and then the coat and then the hat and the gloves, scarf, the whole thing, ready to go. And then I watched the youngest child, who must have been about 3. And as her father came toward her with the sweater, the first layer, she began to whimper and whine. The little mouth started to go and the tears started to come. I don't want to wear that, Dad. I don't want to wear that. Everybody was watching her at this point. I don't want to. He tried a couple more times gently, and then he put the sweater aside and he picked up the coat, and she was very happy to push her arms into the sleeves and then allowed the hat to come on. And clearly, I saw this was a dad who had learned about the need that toddlers have to show a little bit of control. The truth is, as we move along in our journey of life, we learn that control is elusive and unpredictable and fickle. We can choose to wear a sweater or not wear a sweater, but we cannot choose the surprise of the ministry of interruption. We cannot choose whether an interruption is the crashing of the internet or a blown tire or an out-of-the-blue horrific diagnosis. Interruptions are just that, the thing that stops you from what you thought you were going to be doing, that stops you from the plan you thought you had, the redirecting of a conversation, the redirecting of life. It's always true, isn't it, that with Jesus, the key is to pay attention. The key is to wonder and to trust that the ministry of interruption is present with you and you with it. We have to stop and listen, breathe, and give ourselves fully to the person or to the moment, the surprise, pleasant or not pleasant, that now presents into our lives. And that interruption, even if we can't see it right then, even if it doesn't feel like it, in that interruption is always Jesus, always climbing into your empty boat, just when your back is turned, calling you to give something another try, a new try, and no matter what, Jesus is sticking with you into the deep waters, never abandoning you and carrying you into the new life that awaits. Do not be afraid. You are not in the boat alone. Jesus is not finished with you. He is accomplishing in you something miraculous, even as your plans are interrupted. In that interruption is the holiness of God's love. And then I'll tell you, I love this 9 o'clock service, that at the 9 o'clock service, Peter's reaction to the holiness of God's love is this. He says to Jesus, "You are so holy, I don't think I should even be near you. You know, Jesus, I am really sinful. I don't think I can take all this holiness." Sometimes that's how we have to end the conversation. But God is still there. Amen.